Hey guys, we're so excited to share this message with you on the Center Set podcast. My name is Ethan and I lead worship here at Center Set. We'd love for you to download our app so that you can keep up with all that is happening in our community. Text Center Set to 77977 to download.
Good morning, good morning. Who's excited to be in church today? Come on. For those of you that are new, my name is Ali, my beautiful wife and I. We started this church 2 years ago with a simple dream. Could we create a church that not only Christians love, but unchurched people would love as well? So if you're new to church, your first time in a long time, you are in the right place. This is a place where you can belong long before you believe. We hope you find community here. But we are in the collection of talks called Nothing Breaks Like the Heart. The tagline is, when love is falling apart, what do you do when love falls apart? And I'm not sure about you, but I just personally believe that Jesus didn't just come to die for us so we can get a plane ticket to heaven, amen? That's good news, but it's just more than that. His teachings should impact our life. That should change the way we parent, that change the way we love our spouse, the way we have friendships. It should impact every aspect of our relationships. And 3 weeks ago, we started this relationship series called Single and Ready to Mingle. And some of you are single, but you ain't ready to mingle. You're mingling, but you ain't ready. And last week, we had an awesome, juicy sermon on lust, that using the other person as an instrument for your own satisfaction. I was shocked by the feedback. It was awesome. Today, we're going to have the idea behind today's sermon is hope in your heartbreak. Hope in your heartbreak. Show of hands, who's ever had your heart broken, ever had a relationship break up? Come on now. A few honest people in church morning, come on now. My wife and I, we dated 18 months ago. We were dating for 18 months before we got married. In my opinion, it was 17 months too long. I was ready after like the first month. I'm like, girl, meet me at the altar in your white dress. We ain't getting younger, so let's get this on, right? And most of you don't know this, but we had a breakup, an official breakup in those 18 months. And I had to get on my knees and beg for her to take me back with jewelry, of course. All the women said amen. But we had unofficial breakups too. How many know what an unofficial breakup is? It's when you like get angry with your partner, like, I don't want to talk to you anymore. And in the morning, like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Take me back. We had that like 7 times we did that in our relationship. Maybe I'm the only one who's ever experienced that. Thank you for leaving me up here by myself. But heartache is a real thing, and some of you, your heart is broken, and the person next to you doesn't even know it. If we were to pass around the mic this morning, there are some of you, we would all be shocked by the experiences that you had in your family, the relationship problems, the things that you've walked through. You've experienced divorce. You've experienced a spouse cheating on you. You've experienced a loved one dying. And sometimes we think that only single people have broken hearts. It's not true. The more and more that I pastor, I realize that it's not just single people who have a broken heart. It's people in relationships, people who are married that are suffering through a broken heart. And I'm going to speak to that problem today. I'm going to speak to that area of your life that God wants to give you hope in your heartache. And the big idea is this, that God can heal your heart, but you got to give him all the pieces. You can't go halfway. You can't have one foot in church and the other out. You got to give him everything. You will never experience complete healing until you completely surrender. And I'm going to read you Psalm 34. It's a man named David who experienced a lot of heartache in his life. And he says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Someone say brokenhearted. So there are some of you this morning that because of your pain, you just feel like God is so far from you. He's here this morning. He's close to you, even though you don't feel him. He's close to the brokenhearted and saves those that are crushed in spirit. And Psalm 147 says this, he heals the brokenhearted. Someone say brokenhearted. Maybe your heart's in a million pieces this today. Maybe no one knows. Maybe you've been trying to fix it your whole life by yourself. But God wants to bind up their wounds. The same way when you break a bone, you put it in a cast. God wants to put your heart, listen, in a cast. For so many people in this room, you've been dealing with heartache on your own. Make today. Maybe you didn't choose to break your heart. Maybe you didn't choose for your spouse to leave. Maybe you didn't choose for your spouse to commit adultery, but you can choose today to do something about it. And Deuteronomy 30 verse 19 says, I call heaven and earth as witness against you that I've set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live. God wants to give you that choice. He ain't gonna choose for you. He wants you to choose, and there is hope in your heartache. If you guys can bow your heads, let me pray for you real quickly. God, thank you so much, Lord, that you're doing something in this faith community, God. Thank God that you want to speak to us today. Thank God that you are here, even though we don't feel you are close to the brokenhearted. God, would you have your way in this place? Lord, would you come into this place that we wouldn't just come and have an experience, God, but we would be transformed from the inside out, that you would speak to the broken parts of our heart, Lord, that we would be forever changed. And we love you, we honor you, we praise you. And everybody said, amen. Everybody said, amen. Come on, if you can wake up this morning, if you love Jesus, can you make some noise? It's going to be a fun summer. I'm going to challenge you and inspire you. And there are four areas that I want to speak into. And I love that God says, but I put before you life and death. Choose life. God is the best teacher. He gives you an exam and then whispers the answer. Psh, choose B. Don't you wish you had that teacher in high school or in college? Like, here's an exam, A or B. And the teacher says, B, right? God's going to put two choices in front of you. And he's always going to give you the answer. Choose life. And there are four areas that you need to choose if you want to have hope in your heartache. That God wants to heal your heart this morning. No matter what you've experienced in your family, in your relationships, and in your friendships, God wants to heal you today. And the first decision that you got to make, you're going to recognize, you're going to rationalize. Someone say recognize. Recognize. Someone say or rationalize. See this all the time. People are experiencing pain, they have heartache, and then they rationalize the pain away. Like, oh my gosh, they make excuses. And there are two categories for people who rationalize their pain. The first one, maybe you experienced it before or know someone. These are the I'm good mentality. They're in a relationship for 2 or 3 years. The relationship blows up. And they're like, bro, are you okay? I'm good. Everything's fine. And they're bleeding everywhere. They just don't want to admit it. And they think that if they don't talk about their problem, if they don't admit their problem, they don't have a problem. How many of you know that we all see you have a problem, even though you don't admit it? And if you go to some of these restaurants, it's drive-through only. Have you ever been to Dutch Brothers before? They don't have them in California, but they're awesome. They have them in Oregon. They have this drink called Insanity. It's 5 shots of coffee. I call that Monday morning after I pastor. And the only way to get your drink is you got to drive through Dutch Brothers. And I'm here to tell you, there are some relationship problems that you have. There are heartaches that it's only a drive-through solution. You can't drive around it. You can't avoid it. You got to drive through it. And there are so many in this room, you don't realize if you never get healed from your hurt, you will bleed on people who never cut you. If you don't get healed from your hurt, you will bleed on people that will cut you. It's on the screen. It will change your life. So many people, they think, I don't have an issue. Everyone sees that you have an issue. And just because you say you don't doesn't mean we believe you. Imagine if I walked on stage today like with a limp and I broke my leg and there's blood everywhere. I'm like, hey guys, how are you this morning? You're like, Pastor Allie, are you okay? Yes. But you're bleeding, bro. No, I'm not. I'm good. And some of you have this I'm good mentality and everybody sees that you're bleeding. And you will never find hope and healing until you recognize what we all see. Some of you, you don't just rationalize with this I'm good mentality. You are so focused on your mistake that you blame yourself. I shouldn't have dated that guy. I shouldn't have gone on that dating website. Shouldn't have gone on Tinder. Shouldn't have jumped up and down the night. That's why I broke my leg. It's like, bro, we get it. That maybe you shouldn't have done those things. But unless you focus on the wound, you will bleed out. Some of you are so focused on blaming yourself that you're neglecting that your heart is bleeding. You cannot rationalize the broken, toxic areas of your life. You can't rationalize that you're bleeding on people. You gotta face the facts, see the problem. Imagine for a moment, I'm plant-based. Now imagine if after church I went to Veggie Grill, right, and I got a kale salad. Got some kale stuck between my teeth. I didn't do anything for a week. And then next Sunday I come to church and you're like, Pastor Ali, before you go on stage, whoa. I love you, but you got some kale in your teeth. Cool, bro, thank you. Pastor Ali, whoa. You're not gonna take it out? No, it's been there for 7 days. I'm just gonna go on stage. Some of you do that with your relationship pain. You're like, yeah, I know he cheated on me 6 months ago, but it happened. It's like you just rationalize the broken parts of your life, and we all see that you're bleeding. You can't rationalize that kind of pain. You got to recognize it, and I see this all the time in church. People say, yeah, my marriage is broken, and they just live with mediocrity. They live with a spouse who doesn't love them. They just live in the brokenness, and then they hide it. You will never find healing until you step into the light. Imagine if I walked around and said, I'm good, I'm bleeding on everyone. It's like, bro, you're bleeding on everyone. No, I'm not, I'm good. Some of you do that with your relationship pain. God speaks to this problem. In Isaiah 61, 700 years before God became a man, the prophet Isaiah prophesied this: "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news." Let me tell you something. Some of you love sharing your faith. Does it sound good to other people? It is good news, but when they hear you share your faith, does it sound good to them? Easter's coming up in 49 days. There are two times during the year, let me tell you, that people won't say no, even if they're an atheist, to come to church. Christmas and Easter. My question is, who are you inviting? Yeah. And let me tell you, make sure it sounds good. And Jesus says, "The Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." Someone say brokenhearted. To proclaim freedom for the captives and release for the prisoners. And every person in this room who is a Christian knows that this fulfillment of this prophecy was fulfilled in the person of Jesus. That Jesus didn't just come and do this one time. He is continually doing this. I pray this verse over my life. Every time I get up on stage, that I'm going to set the captives free with the gospel. That the word of God, just as the rain goes forth and comes back and produces crops, God's word goes forth and never returns void. That I'm not just talking, I'm preaching, and God is going to set people free. This is not a verse for the mission field. This is a verse for everyday Christianity. The God wants to bind up the wounds of your broken heart. And so often, we think we can be a solo Christian. We need community. We are better together. We are stronger together. We find healing together. Does anybody believe that this morning? And God gives you the choice. You're going to recognize your broken heart. You're going to rationalize it. But if you're ever going to recognize it, you got to go to the doctor. And if you're like a man, or most of the men in this room, we hate going to the doctor. You know what I'm saying? Come on. We hate it. I'd rather get punched in the stomach than go to the doctor. When I was in, growing up, I played in organized sports from the age of 8 to the age of 22. 14 years of playing sports. I know, like, I look malnourished now, but I used to be an athlete. Come on now. And my junior year of college, when I was getting my minor in intramural sports, I broke my wrist. Didn't even realize it. I had so much adrenaline running through me that I didn't feel the pain the night before. The next morning, though, when I get up to pick up my backpack and go to school, my wrist, I couldn't even lift a textbook. And I did what most men do. I just wrapped it up, took 6 Tylenol, and I'm like, it's good. It's going to get better. And I did that for 3 months. And before you judge me, some of you do that for years in your relationships. And I went to the doctor. The doctor walks in, and I quote you. He goes, "When did you break your wrist again?" I go, 3 months ago. He's like, "Are you an idiot?" I'm like, "Bro, you're a doctor. You can't say that to me." Some of you, you've been walking around with a broken heart for years. Rationalize. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. And the pain of what you're dealing with, everyone sees that you're bleeding. And you're bleeding on people that never cut you. And what happened is my wrist, it never healed. I can bend this wrist forward and backwards. This wrist, it can't go back. And some of you, this is a picture of your heart. That time has passed, but it didn't heal properly. Now there are scars on your heart. And yes, the pain went away, but now there's scar tissue around your heart. And God gives you a choice this morning. You're going to recognize the pain, the heartache that you had. You're going to rationalize it away. God gives you that choice. He wants you to be free this morning. Recognize or rationalize. And the second thing that he wants to give you this morning is to resolve or to resign. Someone say to resolve.
Resolve.
Someone say it to or resign.
Resign. And
the question is, will you resolve to the path that God has before you? Or you resign and quit the path that God has for you. I'll figure it out. It's always going to be this way. I've always been broken. This is the way I've always been. And to resolve in this context is to have a firm commitment to the path that God has for you. That there are times and there are seasons where you may experience pain that you've never had before. Emotional trauma that you don't even know what to do with. And to resolve in that season, I'm going to trust you, God, that you have a plan. That you are going to heal me. And I see this all the time with church people. They have heartache. They break up with Bay. Then they come back to church. They start playing worship music instead of Jay-Z. Come on now. Maybe you're a Drake fan, whatever it is, right? And they start coming to church every week. They start serving. They're part of community. They even join the 21 days in prayer. And then something happens. 9, 10, 11 days into it, they're like, "Where are you at, God? How come I'm not healed?" And they resolve. They quit on God. thinking that healing is a momentary thing. Healing is a process. Healing takes day by day. God's not going to heal you in one moment. God's going to take day by day. You got to trust him. And so many people, they know this with physical pain, but they think that emotional pain is different, that if I just pray, it's gone. If I just pray, God's going to heal me. The question for you this morning is, will you have the resolve to trust God day by day that he's on a path that he's going to heal you? You may not see the path, you may not like the path, but he's going to heal you on this path. When I was a junior in college, my senior year actually, I'd played baseball for almost 12 years of my life. And my senior year of high school, I played so much baseball year round that it caught up to me my senior year in college. I had this pain in my shoulder. I just didn't do anything with it. My senior year of high school, I played baseball from September to the following September, 12 months. I never had a break. My senior year of college, I couldn't even throw a Nerf ball across the room without grimacing in pain. I had not one, but two shoulder surgeries. They had to shave the clavicle. My bone, the bone became inflamed. I had that much pain. And I also tore my labrum. It was just crazy. Not just one, but two surgeries. Both times, I was in bed for a week on drugs. I never smoked weed. So now I know what some of you experience every week. That's nervous laughter right there for some of you. I wasn't on Tylenol. I was on Oxycontin. I had a 10-hour high. I was like, dude, now I get why everyone's getting high. You know what didn't happen? My high school friends didn't come over the day after surgery with a football. Bro, let's go outside. Mind over matter. Let's do this. Let's put some weight on your shoulder. Come on, bro. No! They knew that I had surgery, that I had physical pain, that I needed 6 months of rehab before I can go back and do anything. Some of you, your heart is shattered and broken, and the next day you want to go back into a relationship. The next day you think God's going to just heal you magically. There's a process. God is in your pain. God is in doing something with all the broken pieces. But you can't resign. You can't quit. You can't just walk away when you don't feel it. You got to resolve that even though I don't feel my victory is coming. Heals all the time. I see girls come to church like, Pastor Allie, I can't come anymore. I'm like, why, girl? Oh my gosh, we broke up. I'm like, so why are you telling me? Girl, it's like, oh, he goes to center. I'm like, girl, we got two services. Go to the 10 a.m. Let him go to the 11:30. Don't quit on God's process for healing you. Resolve, no matter what, I'm going to show up in church and let God do his healing process. And so often we resolve. We don't resolve. We resign. We go back to the world. What does the world offer you? They're going to give you bindings. They're going to break you. Think Chinese culture for a moment. I'm not picking them out because I have anything against them. I'm just using them as an example. In Chinese culture, they would bind women's feet when they were young. And these women, as they grew from a young woman to an adult, their feet, their bones would break. And the binding would be different. And their feet were deformed forever. The wrong binding leads to more breaking. In Western culture, they did the same thing, just differently. They would wear these corsets, and they wouldn't just wear it to wear a dress for one night. They would wear it for days upon days, and it was so tight that their literal organs were being moved, and it deformed their bodies because that's what they thought was attractive. And the big idea is the wrong binding will lead to more breaking. The wrong binding will lead to more depression, more heartache, more pain. You got to move in with him before you marry him. No, the wrong binding will lead to more breaking. You got to test drive the car before you buy. Sex is just physical, Pastor Allie. No, it's not. It's spiritual. The wrong binding will lead to more breaking. Come on, Pastor Allie. Don't be religious. Porn does not affect you. Yes, it does. In the world, they have their own bindings, but it will not heal you. Only the hands of God who wants to bind your broken heart can heal you. Does anybody believe that this morning? You got to resolve. Doesn't matter what I feel. Doesn't matter what I experience. God is going to heal me. It may not be in one day. It may not be tomorrow, but it's going to happen. He's a promise keeper. He's a promise keeper. And this is why so many people, my heart breaks for them. They go back to the bindings of the world, and again, their bindings are going to lead to more breaking. That's why I love Jeremiah 29. It makes this pain that we all experience, that verse becomes more alive for me. Sometimes we misquote this verse. We quote it during graduations and birthdays, like, oh my gosh, for I know the plans I have for you. Yay. plans to prosper and to bless you. It's like, that's good, but you're kind of misquoting it. The Israelites had been disobedient to God, not just for a day, but for years. They had abandoned God, and God said, you guys got to figure this out by yourself, and took a step back. And the Babylonians came in, and they sieged Israel. And they took them into captivity, into slavery. God prophesied, you're going to be here for 70 years. But in their brokenness, God said, for I know the plans I have for you. And some of you in this room, yes, you have a broken heart, but God has a plan for your brokenness. No matter what is going on, no matter what you've experienced, doesn't matter if they chose it or you chose it. In your pain, God has a plan for your brokenness. That's what he's saying right there. I'll say amen. That's a good word right there, Pastor Ali. God has a plan in your brokenness. And sometimes we think, if I just look at my broken heart, I'm going to watch you get healed. Listen, I got two girls. I don't stare at them watching them grow. You cannot stare at your broken heart and expect God to heal it. It takes time. Healing is a process, not a moment. And God gives you that choice. You're going to resolve, or you're going to resign? You're going to recognize, you're going to rationalize. The third choice that God gives you today is, are you going to rebuild or are you going to react? Someone say rebuild.
Rebuild.
Somebody shout or react.
Or react.
I see this all the time. Instead of letting God rebuild their heart, they just have a knee-jerk reaction. I love word pictures or metaphors. It just helps me understand. When you break a bone, you put a cast on it. When you break your heart, God wants to bind it by putting a cast on it. And a cast, if you've ever broken your bone, it does two things. It allows you, the doctors, to set the bone so it's realigned, and then it restricts mobility. I see this all the time. People break their heart, and their knee-jerk reaction is to jump back into another relationship. They're bleeding. They're like, oh my God, girl, you're cute. You want to be my Band-Aid? We won't say that, but that's what we're doing. We're bleeding everywhere, and we want someone else to satisfy us as an instrument for our own good. That's called lust. That's not love, honey. And so often, our love life looks like Jay-Z, on to the next one. Go from one girl to the next, one relationship to the next, one romantic relationship, one sexual partner to the next. And all we're doing is we're looking for satisfaction. We're looking for someone to heal us, to make us complete. Only God can do that. And so often when we break our bone, doctors restrict you by putting you in a cast. When your heart is broken, listen to me, you need to restrict yourself because you're not healthy. You need to let it heal. Not because I'm trying to control you. I'm trying to help you. We know this physically, but we think emotionally it's different. Anybody ever broken a bone before? Show of hands. Awesome. Few of you. Broken like three bones. Never fun. But after they put it on the cast, whether it's on your leg or your arm, the doctor always tells you two things you got to watch out for. Input and output. Someone say input.
Input.
What you eat the next 6 or 12 weeks matters. The vitamins, the minerals, the protein that you take in, it matters. Because we reset the bone, but what you eat matters. It's going to help you, your bone heal. Listen, when your heart is broken, what you're consuming, what you're putting in, it matters. What are you consuming when you have a broken heart? Are you consuming God's word? Are you reading it? Or are you just applying it? Because listen, God's word will not help you on a coffee mug on your way to work. It only helps you when it's in your heart. Amen? Some of you need a resolve. I don't just want to know God's word. I want to apply it to my life. Some of you need a vision, a new perspective of what relationships are. See, we're in Silicon Valley. This is the most unchurched region in the entire country. Some of you are awesome at your career. You're awesome at making six-figure salaries, but you suck in the context of relationships. I'm not trying to be mean. It's just the reality. The biggest area of tension in this church is relationship issues. Over and over again, Pastor Yaz and I, we meet with couples that are having relationship problems. They're killing it at work, but they're dying at home. And we talk about these subjects over and over again. Maybe you're new to church, maybe you're new to Center Set, but at least once or twice a year, we'll do a relationship series and we'll go over the same things over and over again because people need to hear it again. Your spouse does not complete you. I know you watched Jerry Maguire 15 years ago and you're like, oh my God, I'm looking for someone to complete me. Honey, his name is Jesus. No man is going to complete you. No woman is going to complete you. And I see someone gets their heart broken. They come to church. They're like, oh my God, Jesus is going to heal me. And as soon as they get healed, they run back into the arms of another man who they think is going to satisfy them. He's never going to satisfy you. He's going to sharpen you, but only Jesus can satisfy you. Get a new vision of what your relationship is going to look like. And don't just know God's word, apply God's word. Yeah. Some of you need a vision of what your relationship should be. And I say this in the most loving way that I can. Some of you have had real heartache in your marriage. A spouse who doesn't show affection, a spouse who's verbally abusive. Maybe your dad was never there. You'd be carrying this father wound since you're a little girl or a little boy. Don't just react and say, I don't ever want to be like that. Get a vision of what you could be. That I'm going to pursue my number one with my number two. As for me as my house, we're going to serve God. Get a vision of what you could be. Your intake, when your heart is broken, it matters. That's why I love Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It's one of my life verses. A man named Solomon, he says, above all else. Someone say, above all else. Someone say, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. I love this verse. Not just the words that Solomon is saying, it's who's saying it. Scholars say that Solomon is the wisest man who ever lived, not just in the church, scholars outside the church. Have you ever read the book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People? The guy took principles from the book that Solomon wrote called Proverbs and just wrote a book called Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, made a bunch of money from it. But all the ideas Solomon came up with, because God spoke wisdom into his heart. And what's so crazy is Solomon has hundreds of sermons, hundreds of lectures, hundreds of proverbs. And he says, above all of them, there's one thing that you want to listen to. Above all of the teachings I've had, this one's the most important. And I'm not sure if you have any level of leadership, but when a leader says above all else, lean in. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Because your heart determines your life. What you put in is what's going to come out. Your heart determines your emotions. Your heart determines the course of action. The heart determines your destiny. Above all else, guard it. If you ever go to a bank, the safest, most secure place in a bank is the vault. Some of you are like, okay, I'm going to get a job at the bank. Talk to Kirk. He works in a bank. He's awesome. We love him at this church. But let me tell you, I heard him in the back. Let me tell you, if you got a job at the bank tomorrow, they are not giving you security clearance to the vault the next day. They got to do a background check on you. They got to check out your Instagram, see what kind of cray-cray you really are. And then after a couple of months, maybe after a couple of years of being trustworthy, then they'll give you security access to the vault. Why? Because the vault is the most valuable possession of a bank. And the idea I'm trying to tell you is this, that your heart is the greatest asset of your life. And you are giving security asset to morons who have no business being there. You're giving security assets to people who will not protect it. Above all else, above everything, guard your heart. And you're giving security access to people who have no business. Your heart is broken, but instead of letting God rebuild, you are reacting. Instead of letting him rebuild something significant. Some of you need to resolve. You don't have security access anymore, fear. Depression, you have no more security access. Doubt, you don't have access anymore. Loneliness, you're gone. You don't have security access to my heart anymore, because I have a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And even if my heart is broken into a million pieces, he has a plan. Amen. Anybody agree with that this morning? That does not matter what you've experienced. It does not matter the pain, the hurt that you have. God has a plan. And if you trust him, if you recognize it and have the resolve and say, God, you got to rebuild my heart, he will do it. You don't need a rebound. You need a rebound God. It's not just the input when your heart is broken. When you have a cast on, the doctor says, it's not just the input, it's the output. Someone say output. If you ever put a cast on, that the doctor tells you, your arm or your leg, it's immobile now. You can't move it, but you better be moving. Your body better be moving. Let me tell you why, because the blood in your body needs to circulate. The area that's broken, that's being reset, that is not mobile, the blood, as you begin to move, will begin to circulate and it will feed necessary blood to revitalize and restore that part of your bone that's broken. That's a visual picture of God, what God wants to do in your heart. So often when our heart breaks, we take a step back from community. So often when our heart breaks, we stop serving. We stop going to life groups. Listen, that's a lie from the pit of hell that you should pull back, that you need to take a step forward. I need people more than I've ever needed in my life. That you need, your faith needs to be put into action. You need people. So often we stop going to community. We stop leaning on other people. We stop serving. Just because you have a broken heart, don't just have a knee-jerk reaction. Allow God to rebuild you. You need to move. You need to put your faith in action in the same way that when my arm is broken, I need to take a daily walk. And I hate walking, by the way. I hate running even more. I'm not being chased by the cops. Come on. But when your heart's broken, you need to move. Your faith needs to be put into action to allow God to rebuild that broken area. Athletes know this. Even when an athlete's hurt, they still play in brokenness. I realized this truth 6 months ago. One of our own, Sarah Guthau, who leads Growth Track. Anybody know Sarah this morning? She's part of the dream team, amen. And not only that, she's part of the bump-in team. Anybody part of the bump-in team? These people are crazy. They show up at 7:30. Either they're crazy or they really love Jesus. Probably a little bit of the both, right? And about 6 months ago, her husband tripped her and she sprained her ankle. I'm just kidding. She was walking across the street and she was chewing gum at the same time. Because she can't do both, she tripped and fell. Pray for her. She can't do both. No, but seriously, she was walking across the street and she tripped and rolled her ankle. And she had a boot on for 6 to 8 weeks. She had a boot, like a big, like metal plastic cast on her leg. And I knew immediately that we're gonna lose another bump-in person that we desperately, and if anyone has an excuse not to show up at 7 o'clock, it's the person with a boot on their leg, right? 2 or 3 weeks later, guess who shows up at 7:30? Sarah gave me a revelation that even when you're broken, there are some things that you still need to do. And there's some people in this room, man, your heart is broken. Don't let it stop you from worshiping God. There's some of you in this room, your heart is broken. Don't let it stop you from serving people. Your heart is broken. Don't let it hold you back from community. Your heart is broken. Don't let the enemy use it to isolate you. You need to put your faith into action. And God gives you that choice. Are you going to rebuild His way? Or are you going to have a knee-jerk reaction? Recognize or rationalize. Resolve or resign. Rebuild or react. The next and final choice for you this morning is this. Are you going to restore or are you going to relapse? You're going to restore or relapse. The big idea is this, that you're not strong enough to rebuild your heart. You got to trust God to do what only He can do. And when you try to do it yourself, you try to put the pieces of your heart back together, you will continue relapse. Some of you have had this addiction for weeks, if not years. And I want to remind you, it does not matter how far you think you are or how long you've been away, God still has a good path for you. And He sticks His hand out and says, I love you. It's time to fully surrender, to let what only I can do. See, this word binding and that we just read in the Proverbs, that God wants to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted. It's not the only time we see this word binding in the Scriptures. It's a mega theme throughout the Scriptures that there's this term that the Bible uses called covenant. It's a binding agreement between God and man. Because we're the most unchurched region in the entire country, we don't even know what covenant means. It's a binding agreement between God and man. Contract is where you get property. You get a car, you get a house, a covenant is you're getting a person. You're getting a relationship. Contract has a start date and an end date. You got no interest for 72 months. Covenant goes for generations. Contract is about what you get. Covenant, listen, is about what you give. That's why when two people get married, they're not doing a contract. There's no end date to this. I'm giving myself in service to you till death do us part. God does that with us. And Jeremiah 29, in the heartbreak of Israel's broken heart, that the next 70 years they're going to be in slavery, God says, for I know the plans I have for you. And then 2 chapters later, He prophesies this promise. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. Someone say new covenant. New covenant. See, the old one was a physical altar. The new one is different. Then I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant that they broke. Even when we're unfaithful, God is faithful. Though I was their husband, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. See, the new covenant is a promise declaration of a coming Messiah. That 2,000 years ago, God came in the form of a baby. God became a man. The infinite became finite. There are many babies that are born that become kings. God is the only king that chose to become a baby. And he lived a sinless and perfect life. And he prophesied that he was the Messiah. And there are a lot of crazy people that say they're the Messiah, that they're from the holy ones. They're all dead and gone. Jesus is the only one that rose from the grave. I don't just follow him because he has good teaching. There are a lot of good people that have good teaching. Jesus is the only one who came back from death. He conquered the grave. And he said, my blood that I shed on a cross, they didn't take my life, I gave my life. That's the new covenant. It's not a physical altar. It's the altar of your heart. It's the altar of your heart. And so many times we try to rebuild our own life our own way. We go to Tony Robbins. We go to self-help books at Amazon. And God says, you are not just bad. You are dead. And dead people need to come alive. That's why God sent his son to die in our place. And when God raised his son, he wants to raise your dead marriage, raise your broken heart. He wants to restore it completely. And either you can trust him or you can relapse trying to do it your way. But that promise, God says, I'm going to do what you can't do. I'm going to come and cover you. I'm going to come and love you. I'm going to put my wings over you. I'm going to bind up your broken hearts that no man, no religion, no self-help can do. Only the living God who died in our place and came back to life can give you hope in heartbreak. And that God wants to restore you. And he gives you the choice, restore or relapse. And even when we're unfaithful, God still sticks his hand out. Just come home. Come home. I'm not sure how you got in this gathering. Maybe you're here because your girlfriend says, I'm all about Jesus. If you want to be with me, you got to come to church. Welcome to Center Set. I know how it is. Girls have more influence than we give them credit for. Maybe you're just looking for a church family. Maybe you're new to church and you think the Bible is just a book about morality. It's way more than that. It's 66 books. And every book of the Bible is God declaring his love for you. And he sees that you and I have broken hearts and he wants to restore us. There are 39 in the old, 27 in the new. In every book, in every chapter, in every verse is God declaring, I want to restore. I'm going to bind up your broken heart. I want to make a binding agreement that I want to love you with an everlasting love. And this is my new preaching Bible. I bought this book, this Bible when I started Center Set because my old Bible was falling apart. And some of you are super religious, like, oh my gosh, why would you write in your Bible? Listen, a messy Bible leads to a clean life. And my old Bible was literally falling apart. The binding broke, the pages were falling out. I didn't just throw it away, I didn't waste it. Some of you feel that way with your brokenness. It was a waste that I dated that guy. It was a waste that I gave him my heart, that she walked out on me. God does not throw away the broken moments of your life. He does something better with them. I set my Bible in to get rebound. They put a new spine in my Bible. They took the broken and they made it new. And some of you in this room, your knee-jerk reaction is to get into a rebound relationship. You need to let God rebound your life. You need to let him rebound your marriage, rebound your heart. That God doesn't waste your pain. God doesn't waste all those moments of heartache. He takes all of them and he makes it new. He's the only one that can restore you. And he gives you the choice. Are you letting me restore you or are you going to relapse?
Thanks so much for listening. We hope this message impacted you and inspires you to draw closer to Jesus. Subscribe to this podcast and give us a follow on Instagram at Centerset Church to keep up with all that God is doing in our community. Also, we'd love to be in prayer with you. If you have any prayer requests, please send them to info@centerset.church.